Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Well, God's good, isn't he? Yes. Used to be an old response to that when all the time. Yeah. That's the one. There's a few people who've been around too long. That must include me. I knew it. Fantastic. Okay. My brain's now going in all sorts of directions. I just got to back on track. Heather's going to come and tell us something about the building and where we're up to. Maybe you want to grab one of the other ones. Some of you may not know, but Heather's actually the chairman of our board, chairperson of our board. There's Hugh and Grace. Look at that. Hello. How are you?
They were here last week. I know, it's just but you I, weren't.
Yeah, what can I do?
And we've got a new little member up the back there too.
Woo-hoo! Very good.
He looks like he's got a big red hood over his face and we can't quite see him at the moment.
No, so that's all right.
Might have to catch a glimpse later. Welcome, Benjamin. Lovely to have you here.
You're going to tell us what happened this week.
Yes, okay. So building update on what's happening. It's still all going on. Friday afternoon was very exciting. Stuart took a photo. Where's Stuart? There he is, hiding. So Stuart and Clinton and I went and met with our solicitors and we had very, very great privilege of signing the contract.
Oh, look out. Look out.
We haven't exchanged the contracts yet. we've got, during the last week, a bunch of questions have arisen, particularly around the issue of the fuel tanks that are underneath the ground. And
may they ever stay there.
And may they ever stay there and we never have to do anything about them.
Thank you, Jesus.
But we've got a lot more. We've got some more work to do and we've been getting some quotes on how much it's going to cost to find out about whether or not soil's contaminated and all of that kind of stuff. And some of the quotes, just to find out, are so mind-boggling that you should all seriously think about going into the soil contamination testing business.
Totally.
Because let me tell you, you could earn enough money to live for a year in a very short space of time.
I think you work about 2 or 3 days a year. I think.
So we're still looking at that. Our solicitor's also following up some information on the GST component for it. For about 5 minutes in our meeting on Friday afternoon, we thought it was possible we might actually get GST back from the property, which was way, way different to the story that we thought before, but then the solicitor kind of changed his mind. But he's following up all of those details for us. So we're looking at the possibility of an exchange on Tuesday, but our board is going to meet again tomorrow night. I think that's possibly going to be our third lengthy meeting over the last month in this property, but it's a big decision and we want to get it right. Lots of things are stacking up in the direction of, yes, we should be going for it. But even though that we've signed those contracts, we don't have to hand them out if we've got questions. On the other hand, we've got plenty of questions, but we serve a good God.
Yes.
And he very much, in my heart, seems to be leading us in this direction. But we want to be sure, because it's going to cost us a lot of money, and it's going to cost us a lot of money that right at the moment we only have by faith. And so we're really needing the wisdom of God. So we'd really appreciate your prayers. It's an exciting time. It's a dynamic time. Lots is happening, but we would really, really value your prayer, especially for the board tomorrow night, because we will have to, if we're going ahead, we will have to exchange those contracts on Tuesday. And we really need to hear from God on exactly 100%, no doubt in our minds, because if we're going to go out on a limb with a whole lot of money that's not there, then we really need to know it's God. Amen? Amen? In other good news, the bank has lowered the interest rate that they have offered us the finance for. So there's all sorts of stuff that's going on that's really exciting. So pray for us. ask for God's will. We want it to be for his glory, not something that we've generated ourselves that creates a rod for our back, but we want something that he's going to bless, that he's going to anoint. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've led and you, the way that you've guided us, Lord God. And we do want to thank you for this building. Lord, it, so many things about it just look to be exactly right. But Father, we just ask for confirmation from your word, confirmation in our hearts, Lord God. If this is the place that you have as a home for us, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would make a way and you'd make it clear into our hearts, Lord, and the hearts of the board as we meet tomorrow night, Lord God, that we would know that this is exactly the direction that you want. But God, if you're saying to us, put a stop on it at this point because you've got a different and better plan, then we want to be open to hear what you have to say in that regard as well. Lord, we give it to you. Christ is enough for us. Jesus is enough. We want to thank you for all your blessing and all your provision. And we just ask, Lord God, for your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Give Heather a good hand. That's great stuff. I did a drive-by this morning and I didn't see anybody else there, but I'm sure some of you are doing that, and I hope you are, and praying over that property. And as I was driving away and driving here, I started to pray, and I started to ask God to give us a sensible soil contamination person. And that was a good prayer, but as I was halfway through praying that, I thought, well, hang on a minute. Don't give us a sensible contamination, soil contamination person. This is your business. So I said, God, just sort it out. You do what you want to do. You're not, it's not up to us. We're not doing anything. It's up to you. It's your plan has been from the outset, and we've been sharing with all of you all along the direction and leading that God has been giving. So I just said, well, God, you sort it out. You get your person on the site. You get the whole process going the way you want. And as Heather said, there's the tenor of Scripture that we've been receiving has been along the lines of moving forward. And so we're just saying, God, you keep leading and guiding, and we'll trust you. And I think most of us realize that we're coming into a giving season. Most of us realize that we're coming into a giving season. The next 6 to 8 months is going to be a giving season in the life of our church. Big giving and lots of it. So we better get settled and happy about giving, because there's going to be plenty of it in the next little while. I was thinking about that as we thought about the one-day offering next week, and I thought about how this month, every year, we do our missions offering on the first Sunday and then the one day a couple of weeks later. Plenty of opportunity to give. And then I thought, yeah, and then coming in, you know, probably December, January or thereabouts, we'll have big opportunity to give. And I thought, that's just awesome. You're either settled on that and you're happy about it, or you've just got a problem. And there's not much we can do about that. You just got to get your heart right, amen? And so today we're starting, well, actually I started 2 weeks ago with a pre-series message. And the pre-series message was actually about, what was it about? Anyone remember? Salvation, top of the class, gold star, bring it back next week, we'll give it to somebody else. And I haven't got one, wish I had one. Salvation, because everything we're going to talk about over the next few weeks begins with you and I coming into a relationship with God, where we recognize that we don't deserve anything from God. There is nothing, we don't deserve heaven, we don't deserve blessing, there is nothing we bring to the party. Someone said, I was at our state conference this week, it was great, and someone said during the week, which I thought was a really good way to put it, he said, on our best day, we're filthy rags. On our best day, we fall short. And I thought, that's 100% true. Even on our best day, there's all sorts of mess in our lives. And so we come, the beginning point of our walk with God, of Christianity 101, is a realization, I don't deserve anything from God. Judgment hangs over me rightly. And judgment hangs over the whole earth rightly. And if God were to come today and blot out all of humankind and say that was a bad joke, then that would be the right thing for God to do. That would be righteous and holy and just. And if you and I, if we were just wiped out by God today, there would be nothing wrong with that. Now, salvation begins with that realization, and it really rubs us the wrong way. Doesn't it rub you the wrong way? Rubs me the wrong way even when I talk about it. Because I think, well, hang on a minute. I'm okay. I'm worth something. Surely God would not do that. Well, the truth is, that we all fall way short and we are offensive to God, offensive to his holiness and his purity, and he would be absolutely justified, as he was in the days of Noah, so he would be today, to just go, oh, I've had enough of that, just wipe it all out. And we begin from that point, and then we realize God decides not to do that, and by his grace alone, he decides that he will reach out to us in love and he will snatch us back from the judgment that we deserve. And when we come to that place, I don't deserve anything from God. There's nothing I can bring and he brings everything. When we come from that place, then we start with a heart of gratitude. And I tell you now, the less you understand that, the less gratitude that you will have. And we talked about that story, he who is forgiven much loves much. And he who is forgiven or thinks they're forgiven little, loves little. And we come and we always come thinking that we bring something, that we've got an agenda, that we're somehow worthy of whatever God's doing. And all of that's just rubbish. And what we come to is that God is gracious and kind and merciful. And so our heart fills up with gratitude for him. Gratitude for him. And that's the beginning point. Today we're going to talk about worship. The first 3 weeks of our series is going to be about connecting with God, because Christianity, the beginning of our walk with God, is a walk with God. And so we're going to be talking the next 3 weeks about our connection with God. We'll go on to talk about connection with each other and service of his kingdom. But let's begin with salvation, understanding the grace and mercy of God. And then we walk into a connection with God that goes beyond dry religious practices. That is an actual, real relationship with him that has genuine outworkings in our life. And today I want to talk about worship. You will always be bored in worship unless you have a connection with God. That's the truth. And if you think, when you read the scriptures, what goes on for eternity? Worship. If you don't have a connection with God and you're bored in worship, then it's all a bit sad, really, because eternity looks pretty sad for you, because if you make it, which you probably, anyway, I won't go there. But if you make it, then you're not going to enjoy it very much, because that's what's going on. You know, I was talking to somebody there's some great indigenous ministries happening in Australia today amongst our churches. And I was talking to one of the guys that is leading some of that in the north of the state. And he was talking about how some white guys, for want of a better term, but they would say that, but some non-Aboriginal guys came into this meeting. And by the way, this guy is actually an Indian guy who's doing two services. One of those is a multicultural service, which has around about 40 different cultures in it. And the other one is a straight Aboriginal culture church. Just awesome. And he said he's had some of these Anglo guys come into that service. And he's literally had people walk in not knowing what it was and then walk straight out, because they couldn't handle the fact that it was all Aboriginal guys worshiping God. And he and I were talking about it, and I was going, wow, how dumb is that to begin with? But how short-sighted, don't you realize the opportunity you just walked away from? Because, you know, I've had the privilege of being in Thai worship and Chinese worship and various multicultural worship expressions that I would not want to do every week. But I have absolutely loved every one of them, as people from all kinds of cultures are just worshiping God in the way that they appreciate and they love. And he and I, we were preaching to the choir, because we were then talking about intercultural worship and how it all works and how it's fantastic and wonderful and how stupid those rednecks were for, did I say that? How stupid they were for missing out on that connection that would have done them so much good. But you know, if you have this sense of entitlement, then you won't even have a beginning point for the worship of God. But if you have a heart that's open, that realizes, oh, God has done everything for me, then your heart will scream out for worship, and there'll be a hunger and a desire in you to connect with God on that intimate level that worship represents. And I'm not just talking about here on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday morning as we gather corporately to worship God. I think you realize by now that worship is simply an overflow of the worshiping heart. that people bring to that meeting. And so when you get a, that's why when I go in amongst the Chinese people, especially those services that are not bilingual and just in Chinese, and I tell you what, my Mandarin can get me to the market and can buy me a bit of food, and I can argue with them over the price. But that's about the extent I can tell somebody I don't want that. I can go the jigger and the nigger. Yes, nigger is a word in Chinese. And I can do that business, and I'd want that one. I don't want that one. I can do that. But when I come into a worship service and it's all in Mandarin, I got no idea what's going on. I translated a Mandarin service once for somebody. That was exciting, let me tell you. That was exciting. It was an Aussie guy preaching in Mandarin, and I had Doug, who's not here today, I had Doug with me, and I was picking up about every 100th word of what was being said. I said, he's talking about salvation now. Now he's talking about Jesus. Now he's saying hallelujah. I don't know what else is going on, but now he's talking about we need this and we don't need that. And so we had this great service. Doug and I were having this great service of only understanding about every 50th word or so of what was being... But we got the gist of what was going on. So you get my idea. When I'm in those Chinese services, I'm not understanding very much. But I tell you what, I understand a worshiping heart. And there's some of the greatest worship experiences I've had is just standing with those in that language, just worshiping and honouring God. And I can kob kun prajao with the best of them, and which says, thank you, Lord, in Thai. But that's about it. When I'm going into those Thai services, that's all I got. And you know, the truth is if your heart is open, you know, you'll just worship God. And you'll just want it. You'll hunger to worship God. But those gatherings are just an outworking of a heart of worship. Because those people that gather together, they'll be worshiping God every day. They'll be worshiping. They'll be realizing that everything I do, Romans 12 wise, that everything I do is an act of service of worship to God. That everything I do, the outworking of my life, is an act of worship. But that specific time of coming and expressing worship to God is that time of intimacy with God where I'm close with Him and He's close with me. And it's so good. And I come into, I don't care what is going on. I sing hymns and I do the contemporary songs and loud and soft. And I notice that God prefers loud. If you read the Bible about what God likes in worship, there's a whole lot of stuff about loud cymbals. Seems like God's a keen drummer. I don't know what Bible you read, but my understanding, when you read the Bible, there's a lot in there about loud cymbals. And so we spend all our time trying to quieten down the cymbals, and God's all the time trying to, could you just do that a bit louder, please? I don't know whether God's deaf or not, but He's certainly not nervous. And He wants you to bang those cymbals. Have you ever read that? Anyone read that in their Bible? You read that? God just likes it all. He just loves it, you know. And so I just love coming into that time of worship where I can just open my heart to God. And the scripture's all about clapping and raising hands and kneeling and prostrating and all. It basically says, well, do whatever you want. Just rip into it. In our life groups this week, there is a question that you'll be asked if the life group leader follows the study notes. And that will be, how are you inhibited or how are you free in your worship? Because in the scripture, there's this broad description of worship, but we often allow our cultural limitations to stop us from engaging with worship that would be pleasing to God. Dancing, singing, raising hands, clapping, silence, just the whole range of human activity that would worship God, because it comes out of a heart that is lost in the worship of God. And that's what's important. Let me come to the scriptures, or we'll definitely be here all day. I don't think we'll get past the introduction today, but that's okay. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. I just want to read you a couple of examples of worship. This is David coming back with the Ark of the Presence of God. So this is a pretty awesome time. This is probably the greatest time of worship you're going to have as God's Ark, His presence is coming in to the city. So this is pretty good. And verse 16, it says, as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul. It's just strange to be married to Michael when your name's David, I think. But anyway, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And it says she despised him in her heart. It's amazing the contrast here. And they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, that's all worship too, by the way, before the Lord. And when David had finished offering these burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed each to his house. It's fascinating how it's offerings and sacrifice and dancing, and David's just worshiping all the way through this whole thing, honoring God. It's just an amazing picture of worship. And he says, David returned to bless his household, came from that place of worship to bring blessing. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel honored himself today. Oh, she's a whinger, isn't she? Uncovering himself today before the eyes of the servants, female servants, and as one of the vulgar fellows. Have you ever used that term to somebody? You're a vulgar fellow. There you go. Shamelessly uncovers himself. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who, and he gets into it now, who chose, because she's the daughter of Saul who was kicked out. And he says, who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will celebrate before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this. And I will be abased in your eyes, but by the female servants of whom you spoke, by them I shall be held in honor. It's this amazing picture of this guy who just wants to worship God and he doesn't care who knows about it. And so he's dancing and singing and praising and all of that kind of gear and he's just going for it. And here's this woman who is so bound up by who she thinks she is. You see the contrast between dependence and entitlement that's going on in this story? David knows that he is completely dependent on God. He knows that. And so his heart is lost in worship. But here's this woman who thinks that she's entitled because she's the daughter of the previous king and she's married to the king and I've got a position I need to protect. And it's all self, self, self and entitlement. And so she can't worship God at all because she's so bound up with herself. And David is just lost in the presence and the glory and the wonder of God. I wonder on a continuum of 1 to 10, if David's down this end and Michal's down that end, I wonder where you sit on the continuum. Are you down David's end and you're dancing and singing and just lost in worship, or you're down the other end and just concerned about what other people think and have a bit of entitlement and I'm pretty good? And where are you on that continuum? I'm hoping that we're moving towards David's end, that there's a freedom in our heart to worship God with all of our heart. Amen. I was just looking at Louis over there with his cane. I was thinking him and Keith are going to get together and wave their canes about and worship God together and do a bit of jigging or something. I don't know. But they're going to just worship God however you can. Just get stuck. You know, don't you think so? Yeah. Just get stuck in. Worship God with whatever you got. And let him be glorified and honored. And then I wanted to come to another story. Got a few of these, but we might not get through them all. But Acts chapter 16, and here's a couple of guys who've been beaten half to death, and let's see what their response is going to be. Acts 16, this is Paul and Silas in, I think, Philippi, and they've been preaching the gospel, and people have been upset with them, and so now they've been arrested because they've been preaching the gospel, and they cast a devil out of somebody, and people didn't like it, and all this is going on. And verse 22, Acts 16, here's what happens. The crowd joined in attacking them and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. Okay, this is the prayer meeting before the worship time. Okay, just imagine today before you came into church that somebody grabbed you in the car park, took you around the back, ripped the shirt off your back and started belting you with rods and bits of wood. So you're just getting you ready to worship God. I don't think anybody's up for that, but anyway. When they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the innermost prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So you get the idea? These guys have been beaten with sticks. They've been completely destroyed. And then they've taken them into the prison. They've gone into the innermost prison, basically the solitary confinement, no light, no window, dank, dirty, cold, all those images that we understand. They've thrown them in there. Not only have they thrown them in there, but they've chained their feet and their hands perhaps, but they've chained them up. And what are they going to do? How are we going to respond to that? How are you going to respond? How am I? I read that story and it's so easy and glib. We know, many of us, where the story's going. So easy to look and go, oh, yeah, they worship God. Yeah, right. How about we take a minute and think, if that had actually happened to me, what would I be thinking? And I think a large part of me would be feeling sorry for myself. Would be going, oh, God, what have I done to deserve this? See, deserve? I don't deserve anything. These guys got a different perspective and they come at it in a different way. And it says about midnight, so they've been beaten up all day and chucked in the prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. It's an amazing response to a horrible circumstance. And you know, the story goes on that there's an earthquake and the building doesn't fall down, so they're all safe, but the gates just all happen to swing open. And they stay there and they stop the jailer from killing himself because he's lost all his prisoners, and he gets saved and his family gets saved. And the church begins in Philippi because of this worship that these guys, because of their sacrifice and their worship, the church is planted. I'm just staggered by that. Here we see David dancing and singing because of the great blessing of God, the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant coming into the city of Jerusalem. And here we see Paul and Silas being beaten half to death, and their response is to pray and to sing hymns and to worship God. I just want to submit to you that it doesn't matter whether there's blessing or whether there's horror. It makes no difference. The heart of worship will out. The heart of worship will start to flow. That's what's going to happen if your heart is open, if you're ready to go. Have a look with me at Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. And I just want to give you one more example of a worshiping group of creatures, because some of them are not humans. Interesting. And Revelation 4, verse 6, this is the end time. This is the image in heaven of what's going on. It says, around the throne, that's the throne of God, around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Everyone's had a great time trying to draw these four living creatures. Look them up sometime. You get weird and wonderful stuff. The first living creature like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. Wow, go Manly. Oh, those, they aren't here. Take that back. The four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say what? I wish I had my glasses with me. All those eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders... We don't really know who they are, maybe of the tribes of Israel, some of the Gentile tribes. We don't know who they are, but the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you, your will they exist and were created. Here we see the creatures that were created to surround the throne of God are absolutely taken with the worship of God. Whenever they perceive God, they just go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the God Almighty. And when they do, the elders who have been given the pride of place and the crowns of reward that they've been given, they go, wow, that's God, that's the Holy One. And they take the crown and say, everything we've gained, we don't care about that. They throw those at God's feet and they begin to worship him, the Almighty, the Great One, the Creator of the universe. And there's this heart of worship that explodes out of them as they think about who God is and what God has done for them. And I just want us to be like that today and to have that in our hearts. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. It's a heart connection, not the circumstances of what's going on around us. Mark 7, verse 6 and 7. Jesus is talking to the Jewish people who had a lack of understanding of worship, and he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He said, you can't have all this outside ritual. You've got that down to a T. You're fantastic. You've got all the right instruments and you're playing them all in the right order and you've got everything set up beautifully and you've got the badger skin and the weird other skin and you've got all the veils and all. You've got it all worked out, but your heart's just a mess. So I don't care what you do with all the rest of it because your heart's a disaster. That's what he's saying coming from Isaiah. Whereas in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist says this. He says, as a deer pants for flowing streams. Flowing streams, the water's clear and pure and beautiful. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? There's a hunger, a desire. I don't know, do you have that? Is there a hunger and a desire? When you think about coming to the gathering, I just want to be there with my brothers and sisters to worship God. You know, anything less than that represents the shortcomings of our own lives. And we ought to repent and get rid of it and say, God, help me to be like this psalmist, to have a hunger and a desire that when I come to you, it's like coming to living water. Didn't Jesus say something about living water? That if you would come to me and drink and it would bubble up out of you and bring glory to God, that you would worship me in spirit and in truth. I think they sort of are reading the same book, all these people, and understanding what worship is all about. Coming close to God and letting God fill me with himself. Wow, that we open our hearts to all that God has. This Christianity 101 is not about certain practices that you need to do in order to be a Christian. It's about empowered living. It's about if you want to live as a believer, as a follower of Jesus with some real grunt in your life, then this is what you need to do. And I believe that one of the beginning points of that is worship. Worship, that you come with a worshiping heart. And when you come to your quiet time each day, that you come with a worshiping heart. When that worship song comes on the radio, you know, you just about, I remember driving, when I used to drive up and down to Sydney to work, and I'd put the worship songs on and I'd pray in the spirit. I'd tell you what, it was all I could do not to close my eyes and say, Holy Spirit, autopilot, just take over. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be something? Worship God all the way to Sydney and let the Holy Spirit drive the car. Don't do that. It's a bad idea. But you know, has anyone felt like that? You know, there's that sense, oh God, I just want to worship you and honor you. You know, Paul says it's better to be with the Lord. So if I did that, maybe I would have been with the Lord. Perhaps that would be okay. No, don't do that. A hunger and a desire. Let me give you the two drivers of worship just quickly. The two drivers of worship that I see out of the scriptures. The first one is the awe of God, the awe of God. The heavenly creatures and the elders were overcome by the awesomeness of God and they bowed before him. I think everybody needs to have that sense of the awesomeness of God, that God is awesome, that he's above all. Never become complacent with God, with his presence, with his spirit. Never get complacent about who God is. And so much of that I could share with you. Have a look in Luke 8 and Luke 5. There's stories about people who became afraid because they realized who Jesus was. The disciples in the boat when Jesus came, rather Jesus was in the boat and the storm's all raging and the disciples are in the boat and they think they're going to die and they wake Jesus up and Jesus speaks a word, be still. And the waves and the wind obey him and they go, who is this? And the scripture says they were afraid. Anybody in the scriptures who realizes either that God has turned up or they realize who Jesus is, there's great fear overcomes them. And even an angel appears, they're struck with fear. The angels have to stop people from worshiping them and say, no, stop that. I'm not God. And people are overcome by awe of the angels, let alone Jesus and the Heavenly Father, let alone the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. There is a great awe in God that we must be careful not to lose. Hebrews chapter 12, turn with me to that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Oh, it's here somewhere. Where are you, Hebrews? You're lost. Just talk among yourselves while I find Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. I didn't mark it. I might just read it from here. That'll do. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You have to read the context yourself. It's talking about the kingdom of God can't be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Never get complacent about who God is. I love it in C.S. Lewis in the book of Narnia. where he says Aslan is the representation of God in that story. He's a lion. And one of the characters says Aslan is not a tame lion. He's not a little pussycat that you can just sort of, you know, make do what you want to do. He's a dangerous lion. And I think we need to understand that our God is dangerous, very powerful. I think we need to come from that point of view. We maintain an awe and a reverence for God. You know, we can get complacent. We can come into a time of worship and be complacent. Oh, I'm showing up at church. I'm doing what I need to do, you know. They should be blessed that I'm here. I've come this morning. Yea, verily, here I am. I mean, there's that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing God a favor, showing up at church, show up at life. I'm showing up a life group this week. You should all feel very blessed that I have come. That's entitlement. And I think we've got to get it out of our system. I think we've got to get rid of it out of ourselves. You remember I began this by saying, you will not understand this until you understand I don't deserve anything from God. I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve healing. I don't deserve blessing. I don't deserve the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't deserve his provision that he gives me with great, great blessing. I don't deserve the gifts that I have to serve him. I don't deserve any of it. And when I bring it to him, I'm bringing back to him what he has given me. There are not too many brownie points to be gained in the kingdom of God. Only gratitude. Only gratitude. And when I come with gratitude, he loves me. And let me get to the second driver, the awe of God, because the awe of God won't do it. Because the awe of God is great, but the awe of God is what's driving the Islamic terrorists, some of them just driven by human sin. But, you know, in that whole Islamic worldview, it's driven by the awe of God. Those who are genuine and have a fair income faith, then they're driven by the awe of God. When people in all kinds of religions come to a place of spiritual submission, even if it's completely ineffective according to God, they do so out of an awe of God. Because there's a belief, there's a hunger, there's a desire for God that's in their heart. They just happen to be going about it all the wrong way with a whole lot of human effort. But there's an awe of God there. And so awe of God, you think about those religious guys that Jesus spoke to, they had an awe of God. They had a great reverence for God. But they just missed the Messiah completely. The Apostle Paul, when he started out, his awe for God never changed. It just got greater. And he had an awe, a reverence for God, and so he persecuted the church because he thought they were doing the wrong thing. He thought they were disrespecting God, and so he got stuck into them. And then he met Jesus and realized that he was completely wrong, and he came to another level of reverence for God because he came to the second thing, and that second thing is the love of God. Not only is God almighty, but he's my Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, let's go to that. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'll read verse 12, just because it's there. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. He says, live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And he says, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Abba, Father. Many of you know the expression is dad or daddy. It's actually the expression of a small child to their father that says daddy. The child has no idea. The child knows that this being that is so much bigger, so much more powerful, barely, I mean, we've got this, we took our grandson 2 years old yesterday, we took him off to the aquarium up there. He had both sets of, it was like the Chinese, you know, with their single child. He had both sets of grandparents and mum and dad and one of the aunties doting all over him and probably got completely spoiled. But anyway, but here's this two-year-old child, has no idea, doesn't know it's his birthday, doesn't know what two means, got no clue. I mean, he knew there was presents and there was cake, so it's a good day, you know, but you know, what else is going on? I got no idea, except there's all these big people And I don't understand that they are, I'm going to be a big person one day. I don't understand that. But there's all these big people and they love me. And so it's Daddy and Mummy and Poppy. Both grandfathers are called Poppy, so that makes it easy. Poppy and Nana and Jami. This is Jami right here. I don't know, you know, whether she wears her pajamas too much when he's around. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but it's Jami and Nana and Poppy and Daddy. And, you know, children give you that understanding of what it means to be Abba Father. They just give you the understanding. This kid has got no clue except these big people love me. That's it. That's it. Yeah. It's great to see Luke disciplining Eli and talking to him about what he needs to do. I watched him yesterday. He was very good at it. And so there's a bit of reverence and awe from the child, which is a good thing. Yeah. He says sorry very quickly. Yeah. Luke looks at him and he goes, sorry. No idea what it's about. But, you know, but Luke walked him through it and made him understand what it was about. He got it. And there's a reverence there, as there should be. There should be a reverence for the daddy. There should be, but there's an absolute confidence in the love, absolute confidence in the love, and that's our worship of God. There's a reverence for God. He is our creator. He can blot us out. Our God is a consuming fire. If we got close to him in our own strength, we would just be a blot on the landscape, but he loves us in his grace and his mercy, and so he is our Abba Father. Our dad, and we can come to him. The Bible says we come boldly into the throne of grace, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And that's why Paul, the apostle who wrote that, he also said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I've understood everything in life is all about Jesus. It's all about worshiping God. It's all about serving God. And that's how I want to live. Amen? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence with us here today. Oh, Lord, I just pray for each of us as we go through these really simple things about how to live with you, how to serve you, how to honor you, that you would help us, every one of us, just to take a step up, just to take a step up in our walk with you. That this morning, as we've been focusing on worshiping you, that we would just come with a fresh desire. Every day, they would just come with a fresh desire to worship you, to honor you. That like the Bible says, we would increasingly want to live according to your spirit rather than the flesh, because we want to worship you. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. That's our desire. Why don't we stand together as we just focus our attention on the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray today for a new revelation of your greatness, your incredible power. Lord, we don't want to become familiar. We don't want to become familiar with who you are, so much so that we fall short of really honoring you, giving reverence to you. And Lord, we just honor you so much, and we thank you and praise you. And Father, we want to come today with a full assurance in our own hearts of your love towards us. And Lord, as we worship you, as we pray, as we read your word, as we serve together, that all of it would be driven by this desire to honor you, to honor you. That entitlement would go out of us. Every time we start thinking about what I want and what I need and what I'm going to do, and I'm not pleased by this and I'm not pleased by that, that you would help us to repent of our pride. That we would honor you, that we would reverence you. And that we would be so grateful that we can come together to worship you, that we would just have our hearts open. Father, I pray you take out of us the cultural biases, take out of us the biases of our own experience, our preferences, all that rubbish that we allow to clutter up our lives. Just take it all out. Help us to come with humility and genuine gratitude to worship you. And just Lord, empower our worship more and more, that we come close to you and let you fill our hearts. That's our desire today, Lord Jesus, that we would honor you. We would honor you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. As we pray this morning, every week, we give an opportunity for those who are not in right relationship with God. If you believe in God, but you are not walking with him, your life is not honoring him, then Jesus died for you. because our lives will never be perfect in honouring God, but Jesus was, and he died for you so that you could be in right relationship with God. So we give an opportunity every week for you to come and confess your sin to God, ask him to forgive you in Jesus' name. And so if you need to do that today, then you join us as we pray together. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's a really simple prayer, isn't it? You could pray that any time that you're ready to make that commitment to God. And when you do so, I do encourage you, we've got a booklet that'll help you to understand the Bible and how to actually just have a relationship with God. Really simple. And if you grab the person who brought you today or grab one of our welcome team, they will help you. They'll get you that. They'll help you to link up with somebody who'll walk you through it and just learn how to live a life that's connected to God in a very real way. Amen. God bless you one and all. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Cedar Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.